Chapter 86. What is chapter 86 called?
Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra.
And we'll go from verses number 1 to 20.
So which chapter is it?
86.
86, right. Verses 1 to 20. King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, we would like to learn how Arjuna married Lord Balaram's and Lord Krishna's sister, who was my grandmother.
Yogi, would you like to read that, please?
Parikshit Maharaj turns now to the topic of marriage of Lord Krishna's sister, Subhadra. In the opinion of Srila Sridhar Swami, King Parikshit's question here follows from the previous narration, because Arjuna's winning the hand of Subhadra was just as difficult a feat as Lord Krishna retrieving the sons of Devaki from the realm of the dead, since Lord Balaram himself opposed Subhadra's marriage to Arjuna.
Very good. So, any points?
Maharaj Parikshit wants to know about his grandmother.
Very good. Yep.
He's heard about Balaram.
Nice point. Any other points?
It was, it's very hard to win the hand of Subhadra, which is interesting because if Lord Balaram opposed it, it's like an almost impossible task, if not impossible. And then I was thinking, well, why was it impossible? Or why was it so hard? Maybe because Subhadra was such an important personality that to win her hand had to be very difficult because it gives her more. It's more important.
Yeah. That's good. Anything else?
It would happen what they were hoping.
Good.
So the will of Lord Krishna is a key point on this. Though Lord Balaram desires something, Lord Krishna is the only person who can actually overrule this.
Yeah, that comes up in this chapter.
That's why he's Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I've heard that. I actually believe that. Any other point? That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. So.
It's also giving an opportunity for Arjuna to be glorified because he did such an impressive task.
Good. Nice. So, we see here that Grihastha ashram is the most common ashram in the material world. There's more Grihasthas than there are brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprasthas. It is the most common. Why is it the most common? Because the most prevalent mode of material nature is rajagul. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajagul no, samibhava. So it is the mode of passion which makes the world operate. And mode of passion stimulates sex desire, maituni bhav. And sex desire makes the material world function. So that is the most common. It is grihastha life. That is why the material world is operating. So Krishna says, chatur vanyam mayashishtam gunakama. Vibhagasha. So he says there are, these ashrams are there to purify us gradually because we are in a diseased condition of life. And because we are diseased, then we have to go through a process of spiritualizing our consciousness gradually through recognizing our material attachments. Now, as I've said many times, you know, in 1996 I was a brahmachari and I was traveling actually in the country and I was selling Prabhupada's books and I was listening to a lecture of my guru and my guru Maharaj said on the lecture, you will never get out of the material world until you realize you are in the material world. Right? And then that instruction changed my life. You know, just I listened to that on a lecture. But he said, until you recognize you're in the material world, you can't get out of the material world. So you have to understand you have material desires and attachments. Until you understand you have material desires and attachments and recognize what they are and then dovetail them in Krishna's service, you can't get purified. You don't get out of the material world. You stay in the material world. So that's what Grihastha Ashram is for. It is for gradual purification of consciousness. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it is a good ashram for Vaishnavas in Kali Yuga. We're in Kali Yuga. We have material desires. Grihastha Ashram is the main ashram for purification because it will gradually purify your consciousness. So Parikshit Maharaj, he wants to hear about his grandmother. His grandmother was a great devotee. The point of Grihastha life is to make your family devotees. It is the husband's responsibility to make the wife a devotee. It is the wife's responsibility to make the husband a devotee. It is the husband and wife's responsibility to make the children. Yeah, Vaishnavas. That's the responsibility. It says in the Bhagavatam, don't become a parent, a mother, a father, a teacher, a guru, a worshipable demigod, a brahmana, if you cannot deliver your dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So here we see that Subhadra was the grandmother of Parikshit. Who was his father?
Arjun.
No, his father. Abhimanyu. Yeah. His father was, sorry, his grandfather was Arjuna himself. So he's coming from the Kurus and the Yadus. They have, actually these are cousins. This was common in the previous age. Cousins would sometimes get married. Now we would find that strange. But previously it happened. Now people were cousins or second cousins, third cousins, and it would take place. So Arjuna and Subhadra married and gave birth to Abhimanyu, and then Abhimanyu gave birth to Parikshit. So the whole family was devotees. That's the system. So we have to try as hard as we can to make the family devotees. And if they're devotees or not devotees, is it up to us? No, it is up to them. You can't force your kids to become devotees. You can lead by example, but you cannot force them. You cannot make, they will make their own choice in due course of time. You can't force the kids to become devotees. You can set the example, and then they have to make their own choice. And sometimes we see devoted children, they leave Krishna consciousness. Right? They usually come back though, but sometimes they leave. And then, sometimes we see that the parents leave Krishna consciousness, but the children stay devotees. It's up to the individuals. You can't force it. But that's the goal. So Parikshit Maharaj, he's coming from a long line of devotees. So Grihastha life, that is the purpose. Make your children into devotees of Krishna. And your wife. And your husband. Everyone you should make. And try to make your extended family members and make the whole world into devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Any points? Yes.
What is the counterpart in the spiritual world for Vaishnavism and material
world? There's a eternal Vaishnavism in the spiritual world. There's brahmanas, there's chaturis and vaishnavas. They exist in the spiritual world. But it's completely purified. It's in Shuddha Sattva. And those positions are fixed. They don't change. Any other point?
Believe is Vaikuntha, husband and wife, but they are not attached to their sex life. They just want to live to please Krishna.
Very good. Vaikuntha Dham ki?
Yes, Raja.
Any other points? Shukadev Goswami said, while traveling far and wide visiting various holy places of pilgrimage, Arjuna came to Prabhas. There he heard that Lord Balaram intended to give his maternal cousin Subhadra to Duryodhana in marriage, and that no one else approved of this plan. Arjuna wanted to marry her himself. So he disguised himself as a renunciate, complete with triple staff, and went to Dwaraka. What did she want to do?
Arjuna's plan for obtaining Subhadra as his wife may have seemed unconventional, but he was not acting without encouragement. In fact, Lord Krishna was his prime co-conspirator, and in Dwaraka, most of the members of the royal family, especially Vasudev, were unhappy about giving their favorite daughter to Duryodhana.
Any points there?
If we analyze the desire of Lord Krishna, then there is nothing inauspicious. Even apparently it may seem so.
Nice. That's an important point in this chapter. Thank you, Jagannath Rampu. Good to see you. Any other points?
Why did Arjuna wait for 2 minutes?
What is that?
Arjuna went on the pilgrimage. So what was the reason? I think he did something wrong. He destroyed something.
Yeah, if it was that time. If it was that time that he went, it might have been that time. Yeah, there was a time when he had to leave for 1 year and he travelled around at that time. So it might have been during that period. No, no, that was a different pastime.
Yeah, at this time I think it was because he went to get something.
Yeah. Because Yudhishthira was with Draupadi and then he walked in, and then the rule was that if they were with Draupadi alone, if anyone came, they would have to go for 1 year. So it might have been at that time, at this time. Okay. Any other point?
He's not acting without encouragement.
Yeah, good. So, what is it?
I thought it was Krishna who told
Arjuna. It was Krishna. It was Krishna. Yeah. This is the point. This is one of the main points in this pastime, that Krishna's desire is supreme. Even Balaram's desire becomes subordinate. We have to understand, if you want to be happy in this world, you have to understand your position. Whenever there is friction in any relationship, it means either you or the other person or both of you don't understand the position that you are in. You have to understand, are you superior, are you inferior, or are you equal? And if you don't understand, then there's friction in the relationship. You have to understand how to relate with others. When it comes to Krishna, everyone is subordinate. Why are we here in the material world? Because we're not accepting Krishna's supremacy. And as long as we don't accept his supremacy, we have to stay away from him. As soon as you accept his supremacy, you're allowed to go back to the spiritual world. We're not allowed back in the spiritual world now. What would happen if you went back to the spiritual world now? Well, you would do the wrong things. Well, you would do the wrong things. So Krishna has to trust you. When Krishna can trust you that you will do the right things, then he will let you back into the spiritual world. So everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Even Balaram is subordinate to Krishna. You know, already early in the 10th canon, the Brahma Vimohan Lila, we understood that Balaram did not know that Krishna was the cows and the the calves and the cowherd boys. Even Balaram did not know. Krishna's desire is supreme. Balaram is subordinate. That's the actual message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Etecham sakalapam sa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam. It is specific. Even Balaram. We have to understand this Siddhanta. People don't understand these things. Most people from India, most of India is Hindu. But most Hindu do not understand the actual position. Even when the devotees went to South India, first time to do preaching, and they wrote to Prabhupada, and they wrote some letters, and they said to Prabhupada, Lord Ramachandra is very popular in South India, more popular than Krishna. Krishna is more popular in North, but Ramachandra is more popular in South. So they said, should we emphasize Lord Ramachandra? Prabhupada said, no, Krishna. Emphasize Krishna is supreme. So this is the proper Siddhanta. You have to understand. Balaram is secondary. Krishna is supreme. Why do Krishna and Balaram, why is their relationship perfect? Because there is no, there's no friction because Balaram accepts Krishna's supremacy. If Krishna wants something, Balaram will concede. If Krishna doesn't want something, then Balaram will. Balaram has a desire. Okay, let Duryodhan marry. Right? The rest of the family does not want. Krishna does not want. So Balaram then he, even though he's older than Krishna, but he takes Krishna's lead. So we also have to do that. You have to accept Krishna's desire. We don't accept Krishna's desires completely. And that's why we're in the material world. You can stay in the material world for lifetimes. Bahu Janna Kedi Adi Shravani. You can stay here longer. It says, up to you. If you want to go back, you have to change. Any points?
As we often say in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's always like the way Vasudev doesn't want her to marry Duryodhana too. It makes Krishna the perfect son. Because if they didn't say that about Vasudev, if Vasudev did want her to marry Duryodhana, then the big brother should have the say. But in this case, it's like perfect because the father doesn't want it as well. It makes Krishna's actions perfect. As they always are.
Mm-hmm. See, I read Lord Balaram is a Supreme Personality of Godhead too. But I don't know why he wanted his sister to go to the Lord. He must have known he's a bad person.
Yeah, the relationship with Balaram and Duryodhana is a little mysterious. Because we all know Duryodhana was not a good person, but somehow Balaram was favorable to him. Devotees ask this every single time.
Sorry.
Devotees ask this every single time. For the rest of Kali Yuga, next 10,000 years, every time someone says something about Duryodhana and Balaram, everyone will say, why is it that... It's a little mysterious why it took place.
Does that have to do with the weapon of choice? Like that they both were the same sort of...
They fought with a club. Yeah, they had a common, some common ground. There's many, there's different ways we can explain it. It's been discussed forever. So it's a little mysterious. Why would you hang out with someone like Duryodhana? It doesn't make sense. I would not associate with him. We're not going to talk about it because we're going to spend the rest of the lecture talking about, you know, why Balaram and Duryodhana were friends. But. Okay, so we'll read the next text. He stayed there during the monsoon months to fulfill his purpose. Lord Balaram and the other residents of the city, not recognizing him, offered him all honor and hospitality. He stayed there for 4 months. That is called Chaturmasya. When is Chaturmasya? When is Chaturmasya? Soon.
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is? Okay. We'll explain what it is. When is it? It starts next Tuesday. Yeah, so you better get ready. 4 months. You can only eat khichdi once a day from the ground. Without salt. You don't have to do that, but some devotees do that. Chaturmasya means 4 months, where we, in India it rains. So the sadhus would move around, but then they would stay in one place for 4 months. Because it's raining, they can't travel. So, and they do austerities. That's the point of Chaturmasya. Now, Prabhupada asked us to do austerities for Chaturmasya, all the devotees in this con. The first month, which starts next Tuesday, we're not allowed to eat sak, green leafy vegetables, for 1 month. Right. Second month, dahi, yogurt. Not allowed. It means you can't eat lassi. You know lassi? Lassi is 50% water, 50% yogurt. Devotees drink it and they say, oh, it's not yogurt, it's lassi. They do. They actually do this. I know devotees do it. They drink and they say, you can't drink that. And they say, no, that's lassi, it's not yogurt. What's in it? Yogurt. Or they say, dahi wada. Oh, you can eat that because it's not yogurt, it's yogurt with that doesn't make sense. Be a little bit strict. You don't do any other austerity in your life, so at least do that. Follow it properly. Third month, milk. Same thing, one devotee had milk, you say, oh, it's milkshake. They put mango in the milk, and he said, it's not milk, it's milkshake. Oh, what is that? Use your brain. Right? And then fourth month, uradal. Means you can't have papadam. And there's certain things you can't have, actually, like that. Uttapam. Idli. Yeah, dosa. South Indian, yeah. It's austere, actually. Because I didn't know that until 2001. I didn't know. You know, I've been devotee for, you know, about 12 years. I didn't know. I was sitting with my Guru Maharaj. Last time I saw him, we were having breakfast together, taking prasad. And I was, next day or next couple of days, I was going to Mayapur. And then Jagannath Puri, we were discussing. And then I said, I'm looking forward to having the uttapam. I said that, because I didn't know. And he said, the uttapam. He said, you can't have uttapam. And I said, why not? He said, because uradal is there. And I said, oh my God. You know, half the reason I go to India is to have uttapam. Like, you know. He said, you can't. So then now we can't do it. You know, you have to wait for the month to finish. You know, I get there in Vrindavan, they make nice uttapam in Vrindavan. But I have to have aloe bharata until, you know, 5 days of coming, I'm counting. And then when it finishes, that day finishes, then uttapam. Yeah. So we have to do some austerity. Prabhupada did not ask very much from the devotees. Prabhupada did not ask very much. So if he says, no sak, no yogurt, and no milk, and then no, and at least do that. At least do that. And if you can do more austerity, you can do some more also. And then, on the last month is the Kartik month. So you should do more austerity, because that's Kartik. That's special. So we should do, you know, more things. Do more, chant more rounds, do more hearing and chanting, many things. Take some vows, do some austerity. You know, one Kartik, 1993. I didn't eat any sweets for 1 month and no deep fried things for 1 month. You know, 1 month. And I did it. It wasn't easy, but I did. You know, Govardhan Puja was there. You know, like mountain sweets. Not easy. It's like the hardest month of the year. Yeah. And then, you know, but I took the vow, so I had to do it. I only did it once, 1993. I've never done it since then. It was too austere. I thought, I'm not doing that again. you know, get all the way through, you know, Govardhan Puja and those things, big austerity and stuff. But, you know, but we should do something. We should do something. Do some austerity. Well, at least we have to do, follow, no sak, no dahi. At least do that. Yeah. Those things you do. And then if you can do extra things, do extra things. So it starts next Tuesday. Chaturmasya. It's very auspicious, Chaturmasya. But at least we should do something. That's the point. At least something. One day, Lord Balaram brought him to his home as his invited dinner guest, and Arjuna ate the food the Lord respectfully offered him. So, Uddhava Bandhupu, your turn.
From the explanation of Srila Vishnu Saraswati, it is understood that Arjuna in his sannyasi role had just finished the 4 month course of rainy season. He could now again accept general invitation from householders. Thus, no one would have suspected any unusual motive in his visiting Lord Balarama at this time.
Hmm. Any points? It is the duty of the renunciates to purify the householders. That's why they come. So it's auspicious. You invite the renunciants to your home. Why do you invite them there? So they will give you transcendental instruction. The renunciates do not come to the homes of the grihastha for any other reason except to purify them, to give them instructions how to purify their consciousness. So that's why we invite the sannyasis and the renunciates, people who are advanced. Anyone who is spiritually advanced, we invite them to come. We hear from them. That's the main point. And then we offer them prasad. That's some seva we can do. But you have to take advantage. Don't invite the advanced devotees to your home and then you don't take advantage. You have to organize to hear from them about Krishna. That is the point. It says that Shukadeva Goswami used to go to the householder's place when they were milking the cow because he lived on milk. You can actually live on milk. If you're very austere, you can live just on milk. So he would just take milk. So he would just go there when they were milking the cow. And he would beg some milk, and then while he was there, he would give them some instructions. They were given the milk, he would take, and then he would leave. So the renunciate has no interest to associate with worldly people. He just comes to purify. That's it. Any points?
He should be a true renunciate.
Yeah, that is helpful. There he saw the wonderful maiden Subhadra, who was enchanting to heroes. His eyes opened wide with delight and his mind became agitated and absorbed in thoughts of her. So, each one of us has to be properly situated according to Varna and Ashram. Arjuna is pretending to be a renunciate. He's not a renunciate. He's a kshatriya. He's a prince. He's one of the greatest warriors on the earth. He's a grihastha. Arjuna had a number of wives. How many wives did Arjuna have?
Yeah.
Four wives. Who were the four wives?
Draupadi.
Subhadra. Then he married two more. When he was traveling. Yeah. Yeah. Ulupi and. Yeah, he married four. When he was traveling around, he met a couple of princesses. So then he married them and then kept traveling. So that is the system. The system is you have to act according to your atika. First of all, you have to understand your atika. You can't say brahmachari, or you can't become a sannyasi unless you're qualified. Because if you have material desires, it will cause a disturbance to society. It says this. If you don't follow things properly, you'll disturb other people. Because people will see, oh, the person's, you know, wearing saffron, but they're not qualified. And we see, when people are wearing saffron, but they're not qualified, it causes disturbance. So you have to be properly situated. If you're going to wear saffron, you're going to be brahmachari or sannyasi, you have to have the adhika. That's why I'm grihastha myself. I don't have the adhika. Although I had the desire to be a sannyasi, you know. And then when my first wife left, and then, you know, I even went to Prahladananda Swami. He is the minister of sannyas. And I said, Maharaj, you know, maybe I can consider taking sannyas. He encouraged. He said, yeah, you can try. But then I realized after 9 months, and Krishna revealed in my heart, you are not a sannyasi. And then I thought, okay, I'm not a sannyasi. Material desires are still there. Because I can't go into the ashram. If you get the danda, everyone bows down to you. You get nice prasadam all the time. No problem. Good life. But then in due course of time, problems will come. Because the purity is not there. The adhika is not there. So we have to act according to our adhika. So Arjuna is doing it, but it's just some lila. Yeah. He doesn't normally walk around with a danda and like that. Any points?
On the other side, you see Arjuna, he's a very controlled person, because when he went to the heavenly planet, he even sort of to Urvashi, he said, sorry, you're like my mother. So I mean, for that type of caliber of person, or to say here that he got agitated looking at Subhadra, I mean, this is a very high personality we're talking about, who has controlled himself to come to this level.
Yeah, so it means that they are actually, it's like they're, well, it's Krishna's blessing and arrangement, this relationship takes place, and it's almost like they're eternal consorts. So, you know, if Krishna blesses it, then it's accepted.
Yeah, that's more arranged.
Yeah, it's not based on material lust. You know, even like Prabhupada explains that there's an attraction there, but it's a spiritual attraction. These are very elevated people, not like us.
Yeah. So the attraction of when Urvashi came in front of him, it was more of Mahamaya that was trying to act, whereas Subhadra herself is Yogamaya. So there, Arjuna will not be able to get out any Yogamaya.
Yeah. And it's Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's desire. I mean, these are eternal consorts. Yeah, eternal associates. The Pandavas are eternal associates. Subhadra is an eternal associate. So it's not like a material thing. It's not like what we have. Our marriage is not based on, you know, eternal consorts or just based on material desires, that's all. Arjuna was very attractive to women. And as soon as Subhadra saw him, she wanted to have him as her husband. Smiling bashfully with sidelong glances, she fixed her heart and eyes upon him. So, Mahatma Prabhu.
As soon as she saw him, Subhadra knew that Arjuna was no sannyasi, but rather a distinct consort. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his divine grace, Prabhupada elaborates, Arjuna, the grandfather of Maharaj Parikshit, was himself extraordinarily beautiful, and his bodily structure was very attractive to Subhadra. Subhadra also decided within her mind that she would accept only Arjuna as her husband. As a simple girl, she was smiling with great pleasure, looking at him.
Nice. Any points?
And you said it's eternal consort.
Yeah.
They have to be attracted.
Yeah. The question is, who should we marry? That's the question. Who should you marry? You should marry someone who is equally qualified. That's who you marry. Right? Someone has to have atika. Right? This is Krishna's sister. Who's going to, you know, Krishna, when he heard Duryodhana, he said, Duryodhana, are you serious? Duryodhana? Right? So he goes to Arjuna and he says, they're thinking of Duryodhana, he said, you're the qualified person. You, and do like this, you know, dress like a sannyasi and do like this. No. I mean, it makes the whole pastime much more.
Change the rasa.
It makes it much more attractive and memorable. Yeah, can you imagine Arjuna walking around as a sannyasi? Yeah, it's the most powerful warrior on the earth, walking around with a dunder, and, you know, he's got like, you know, probably like matted locks, he's grown a beard, and, you know, probably got ash on him or something. And, you know, he's acting like he's a sannyasi. You know, it makes the whole... I mean, imagine they'd be speaking about this for years. You know, Krishna, every time he sees Arjuna, oh, Maharaj. You know. So it makes it so much more enjoyable, the whole pastime. But the point is, it has to be... You have to marry an equal person. Right? And what is the most important factor or feature... when we choose the wife or the husband, right?
Must be Krishna conscious.
Must be Krishna conscious.
I was going to say that they have the same goal as you, which is Krishna.
Yeah, that means that's the most important thing. Their devotional qualification. That's why we choose. Right? Is the person a serious devotee or not? If they're serious about Krishna consciousness, okay, we get married. If they're not, okay. That's the atika. Right? So Arjuna is serious about his service to Krishna. Right? He's about to go and fight an entire battle. Okay, and that's not an easy thing to do. You know, kill millions of people on behalf of Krishna. That's complete surrender. Right? And Subhadra is completely surrendered, so it's a perfect match between the two of them. Perfectly qualified and perfectly compatible. Because they're only interested in Krishna, the two of them. Yeah, Prabhupada speaks about that. Because the women think, if I get a child from a sannyasi, then the child will be very saintly. So they go and seduce the sannyasis. But they don't understand that the guys are just dressing up as sannyasis. They're not actually sannyasis. So cheaters and the cheated. These things are taking place. Meditating only on her and waiting for the opportunity to take her away, Arjuna had no peace. His heart trembled with passionate desire. So, chandan.
Even while being honored by Lord Balarama, Arjuna was so distracted to appreciate the Lord's gracious hospitality. Arjuna's distraction and Lord Balarama's failure to recognize Arjuna in his disguise were both arrangements of the Supreme Lord to enjoy his residential pastimes.
Any points? This is Leela Shakti. It's Krishna's spiritual potency. It's not a material thing. If Arjuna is attracted to Subhadra, it's not a material thing. It's spiritual attraction. Like that. And if Subhadra is attracted to Arjuna, it is spiritual. It is not material. So when it says Arjuna is feeling passionate, it's not a material passion. Because he's above material passion. We already heard that he wasn't attracted to Urvashi. And everyone was attracted to Urvashi in the material world. She's beautiful beyond what we can imagine. Right. But he wasn't, he was controlled. Yeah, he wouldn't even look her in the eye. And that's how powerful.
They recognize each other in this level of people.
Yeah. Eternal associates. Once, on the occasion of a great temple festival in honor of the Supreme Lord, Subhadra rode out of the fortress-like palace on a chariot. And at that time, the mighty chariot warrior Arjuna took the opportunity to kidnap her. Subhadra's parents and Krishna had sanctioned this. So, any action that we perform has to be sanctioned by Guru and Krishna. You only do things if it is sanctioned. If it is not sanctioned, then you do not act. Now, you must act on behalf of Guru and Krishna. How do we know Krishna's desire? Right? Through the spiritual masters, through the Vaishnavas. That's how we know. If the devotees are not happy with you, oh, I did this, there was another, then Krishna is not happy. That's how you know. So if Krishna is satisfied, then we will act. So Arjuna, he was doing the right thing because he knew that this was Krishna's desire. There's no reaction. Anyone else had done this, it would have been a big problem. They would have been killed. If someone tried to take Subhadra, right, the Yadus just would have destroyed them. Standing on his chariot, Arjuna took up his bow and drove off the valiant fighters and palace guards who tried to block his way. As her relatives shouted in anger, he took Subhadra away just as a lion takes his prey from the midst of lesser animals. When he heard of Subhadra's kidnapping, Lord Balaram became as disturbed as the ocean during the full moon. But Lord Krishna respectfully took hold of his feet and together with family members pacified him by explaining the matter. Sometimes you have to be humble. Humility reconciles every problem in our life. Right? Even the biggest problems you've got, if you're humble, you'll get through them. If you're not humble, you'll have problems. Right? Even sometimes, you know, sometimes you other devotees and you're not speaking and something has happened and you really, but then if you become humble, everything can change. You know, I've seen myself sometimes, you know, some relationship that's probably there, and then one of us became humble and then everything kind of works out. Humility can reconcile everything. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, you have to be more humble than the grass, more tolerant than a tree. That's why he says that. It's not easy to do it. But if you can do it, then. Lord Balaram then happily sent the bride and groom very valuable wedding gifts consisting of elephants, chariots, horses, and male and female servants.
This is more than humility, I think. This is, he's realized that that's what Krishna wanted, and so he's totally cool with it.
Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, there was a devotee of Krishna's known as Shrutadeva, so now the pastime is changing, who was a first-class brahmana, perfectly satisfied by rendering unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna. He was peaceful, learned, and free from sense gratification. So Krishna goes all the way to visit Bahulashra and Shrutadev. They live in Mithila. Where is that?
Near Ayodhya. Near Ayodhya.
Yeah, it's Bihar and it extends from Bihar up to Nepal. If you do like a Google search, I had a look today, it shows you where it is. So it's an old state of India. Things have changed now. You know, different states, different, but Mithila was like a big region like that. So they were devotees there. So Dwarka's over here. They're over here. So Krishna's traveled all the way across India just to see these two devotees. Because Krishna never forgets his devotees. This is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of the Bhagavatam is Krishna's relationship with his devotees. What is Krishna's supreme quality? Bhakta Vatsala, which means Vatsa, a calf. Krishna has like the attachment that a cow has for the calf. That's how Krishna feels about his devotees. So Krishna himself traveled all the way across India just to see his devotees.
This reminds me of Radhanath Swami's journey to India. Very vivid journey he's depicting in his book. He faced so many difficulties, so many Nobody wanted him to come to India. That lady, she was rebuking him. Why you come? Go back to Pakistan. Don't come to India.
So difficult. Shukadev Goswami continued. Could I just read them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Living as a religious householder in the city of Mithila, within the kingdom of Videha, he managed to fulfill his obligations while maintaining himself with whatever sustenance easily came his way. So he's an actual Brahmana. An actual Brahmana just fully depends on Krishna and just lives on whatever is given by Krishna. If you can do this, then you are a Brahmana. If you always want to get more and stash here and stash there and you know, have an emergency bank account and all these things, this is not really a Brahmana. A Brahmana can just live very simply and depends on Krishna. It's Brahmanical.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused. Who are they talking
about?
Living as a religious
pastor? Shrutadev. Yeah, Shrutadev. Is a Brahmana. And Bahulashra is a king.
So we're no longer talking about Arjun at all?
No, it's gone. Pastimes. It's moved on. By the will of Providence, he obtained each day just what he needed for his maintenance and no more. Satisfied with this much, he properly executed his religious duties. Similarly, free from false ego was the ruler of that kingdom, my dear Parikshit, a descendant of Mithila, dynasty named Bahulashra. Both these devotees were very dear to Lord Achyutya. So Krishna does not see the externals. He sees the bhakti. He treats the Brahmana and the Kshatriya the same. One's a king, one's worldly, one is a Brahmana of renown, but they're both dear to Krishna. Because although he was the king, he had no attachment to the kingdom. He was only attached to serving Krishna. Right? And why did they not go all the way back to Dwarka? They could have visited Dwarka. I mean, you don't expect the Lord to come to you. You should go to the Lord. But they both took a vow they would not leave their deities. They were worshipping deities of Krishna and they vowed they would not leave the deities. So they stayed there and then Krishna came all the way to see them. Which verse were you on?
17.
Pleased with both of them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead mounted his chariot, which Dwarka had brought, and travelled to Videha with a group of sages. So, interesting point that the sages were invited by Krishna to get on Krishna's chariot. Now, it specifically says They did not want to get on the chariot. You don't want to be on the same level as the Lord. You always want to be lower than the Lord. But Krishna is insisting. And he actually goes and physically takes their hands and brings them. Say, come, come, come. So why do they surrender to Krishna's desire? Because it is Krishna's desire. So they want to do that. So sometimes, this is called niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means following the rules and regulations too strictly or not strictly enough. Sometimes devotees say, I don't have to follow the rules and regulations. I don't have to do this. I've been devotee so long, I don't have to do it. No, you have to do it. Or you go the other way. I always follow everything. Sometimes you have to be a little bit flexible. So they knew. Krishna said, come on the chariot. They did not want to come. But then they surrendered to Krishna because that was his will. So if it is the desire of Krishna or the devotee or the guru, then we have to surrender. Among these sages were Narada, Vamadev, Atri, Krishna Dwaipayan Vyas, Parashuram, Asita, Aruni, myself, which means Shukadeva Goswami, Brihaspati, Kanva, Maitreya, and Chavana. In every city and town, the Lord passed along the way, O King. The people came forward to worship him with offerings of argya, water in their hands as if to worship the risen sun surrounded by planets. So they came with water. When you take bath in the Ganga, you take the water from the Ganga and you offer it back to Ganga Devi. Right? So you're just offering Ganga's water to Ganga Devi. So you're not offering anything to Ganga because it's already, So same thing. Krishna's going past. Everyone comes out to offer something. They just offer a palm full of water. But Krishna says, Bhatram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yom Me Bhaksha Priyachati. Krishna says, I accept it. Why? Because they're offering it with devotion. If you have devotion, Krishna will accept it. So it doesn't matter what you offer to Krishna, but it's the love of devotion. So Krishna is going past. They just quickly offer something. Krishna accepts their love and devotion. Right? And Prabhupada says there is no difference between worshipping Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Even Krishna says that. One who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he is the devotee of the devotee, he is my devotee. So they came out by worshipping Krishna and these pure sages. The result is the same. The men and women of Arnarta, Danva, Kuru Jangala, Kanka, Macha, Panchala, Kunti, Madhu, Kekaya, Koshala, Arna, and many other kingdoms drank with their eyes the nectarian beauty of Lord Krishna's lotus-like face, which was graced with generous smiles and affectionate glances. So Krishna was smiling at them. Prabhupada says that the deity smiles at you when you go to see the deity. This is the barometer of bhakti. How do you know if your bhakti is successful? If the deity is smiling at you. If the deity is not smiling, then you are in trouble. You better do something quick. Now, that is a personal relationship. Each deity treats each devotee differently. Everyone has their own personal relationship. Any points? Okay, thank you all for coming.
I gave enough points.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki?
No.